beginning on the top of Tetzayin Amud Aleph with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is familiar to us because the Gemara has already quoted this Mishnah, which is about the issue of Mefagel b'chatzi matir. Pigel b'komets v'lo b'levona. If it was Mefagel the komets and not the levona, b'levona v'lo b'komets, or he had a machshevet pigul by the levona, not by the komets, Rabbi Meir Omer, pigul v'chayim na'lav karet. You are able to create pigul in that way. You had a machshevet chutz lizmano. You're going to be chayav karet if you consume the item. Chumim mormim, ein bo karet, ad shi fagel b'chol ha-matir. As we've seen before, the chumim believe that you have to be fagel in the entirety of the matir. And since over here, the matir includes two components to it, that is the haktarat ha-komets and haktarat ha-levona. We're speaking about komets and levona. Over here, we're speaking about the placement of them on the mizbeach. Because as we already noted earlier in the perek, the actual taking of the kmitza off is uniquely associated with the komets. The levona has no avudat that equivalent to that kmitzah, and therefore there alone, by the komets, you can have a machshava. Now, which machshava you can have, that was what we dealt with in the earlier Mishnayot in the Perek. But over here, we're speaking about the haktara, where there is both haktara legabe komets, and there's haktara legabe levona. Rabbi Meir says you can be mefagel b'chatzi matir. The chamim say, you can't be mefagel b'chatzi matir. Modim chachamin the Rabbi Meir. Again, this should be familiar to us. We just quoted this earlier. That chamim agreed to Rabbi Meir b'minchat choteh u'minchat kinaot, which are otherwise known as minachot charevot. Those are dry minachot. They don't have levona. They don't have shemen in them. So for there, there's going to be one matir. The only matir is the komets. Therefore, shim pigel b'komets, shu pigul. So if you have a machshevet chutz lizmano with regards to the komets, it will be pigul b'chayim lav karet. Even according to the Chachamim, Shakomets hu amatir. Because over there, there's only one unique matir, and that is the Komets itself. Right, but the Gemara asks, why did they say this?
Right.
So the Gemara back on Yud Gimel says that all that was extraneous, and it wasn't necessary.
Right.
And so then the Gemara said, that's telling you the whole reason behind their Gezerah. This whole section of here, the Gemara said before, this Modim section, is to tell you the reason behind the first half of the Mishnah. That is, the first half of the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir says they're Chiyuv Karet. Chachamim say pasul. Why do the Chachamim say pasul when you have a komets and a levona, where there are two matirim, if you only do one of them? So the Gemara said that's a gezerah, also the case where there's only one matir, like that of a komets. And so what they're explaining here is their shita on the first half of the Mishnah, not with regards to the minchat kenaot or minchat choteh, because over there it's clear why they believe that the komets is mefagel, because there's only one matir. But it's giving the explanation as to why, in the first half of the Mishnah, even though there are two matirim, they still say it's pasul, because they're choshesh for the case where there is one matir. So that's what the Gemara said earlier. Shechad echad min hakvasim, if he shechted one of the kvasim, lechol bet chalot lemachar, to eat both of the chalot tomorrow, hichtir echad min habazichim, lechol bet starim lemachar, we remark with one of the bazichim of the lechem apanim, with the in mind to have both marachot, both stacks of the lechem apanim tomorrow. Rabbi Omer pigul v'chayv nalav karet. Once again, here you have fagel b'chatzi matir. The two kvasim are the matirim, and the two bazichim are the matirim. And you only had this machshava with regards to one of them. Therefore, Rabbi Meir, like his shita, believes that it's pigul v'chayv nalav karet. Rabbi Omer ain't bo karet, ad shifagel b'chol matir. You're not chayv karet until you're mefagel in the whole matir, but you are pasul. And again here, this, the Gemara said earlier, is because we're gozer, keves atu keves, bazach atu bazach. Because here you could easily mix them up and say, wait, if I had a machshava here, then if I had the machshava by both of them, is it no different? So the chamim say pasul, because you could easily come to a case of pigul by simply having that machshava on the other item. Shachat echad min hakvasim lechol mimenu lemachar, v'shechted one of the kvasim to eat from it tomorrow, hu bigul v'chaveru kasher. Then it is pigul, but the other keves is fine. Lechol mechaveru lemachar, shneim ksherim. If you have in mind to eat the other keves tomorrow, then they're shneim ksherim. So the latter case is what we already discussed earlier. It's the first Mishnah in this perek, which is you can't be mefagel from matir to matir. You can't have a machshava from one matir to another matir. Over here, we're talking about two kvasim, which are both matirim. Just like in the beginning, the Mishnah said you can't have a machshava going to chamim from a komets to the levona, because they're both matirim. So over here too, you can't have a machshava from one keves to the other keves. Whereas the case before, where he shechts one keves to eat that keves outside chutz lizmano, there you can have a machshava about the keves itself. Now, that's interesting because we know that the kvasim are makvim zed zed. You can't bring one keves without the other keves. So now, why is it that you can be mefagel that keves if you require the other keves? So you have to be cholek here between the issue of ikuv versus a singular matir. And even though both kvasim are necessary and they are makev one each other, they're not both considered to be a single matir legabe themselves. Now, gabe the lechem, they're a single matir. So because the lechem, both kvasim are necessary in order to be mekadesh the lechem. But the guarding itself, the korban, can create pigul in itself, and it's matir itself. The dam of that korban takes care of that korban in particular, even though to take care of the entire avoda that's required, each one of the kvasim is me'akev the other one. So you have to separate between the issue of ikuv, which is that we'll need both in order to do what we're supposed to do here, but nevertheless, on a more parochial basis, each keves is matir itself. And since it's matir itself, it can be mefagel itself. Right? Amar Rav, machloket shenatan et hakometz bishtika. The machloket here is if he put the kometz on bishtika, ve'et ha'levona b'machshava. And he has a machshava pigul with the levona. Aval natan kometz b'machshava, had he put the kometz on b'machshava, ve'et ha'levona b'shtika, divrei hakol pigul. Everybody agrees it's pigul then. Shkol oseh, aldat rishona hu oseh. This is something we've discussed in Zvachim, which is that once you've engaged in an improper thought, do we extend by default that improper thought to the remainder of the actions that you take? Or do we say that each item is independent and you have to have a new machshava with regards to each item? So what Rav is suggesting over here is the order we're assuming here, and this is again, l'shitat our Gemara over here, versus the Gemara in Sota. Here our Gemara says that the kometz and the levona are put separately onto the mizbeach. And there's an order. The kometz goes on the mizbeach first, and then the levona goes on the mizbeach. We did say that if you reverse them, it wouldn't be an issue. You could put on either one first. They're not ma'akiv each other. But technically, the normal way you would process it is that you put the kometz on the mizbeach first, and then you would put the levona on the mizbeach. Therefore, if you have a machshava by the time of the kometz, when you're makir the kometz, afterwards you're going to go to the levona. When you're silent afterwards, when you do the levona, does that then carry whatever you thought about for the kometz, does that carry over to the levona? And what Rav says is yes, because you did something wrong with an improper thought, that improper thought will continue to extend itself unless you stop it. You've got to articulate the opposite in order to stop it. On the other hand, if it's reversed, which is you did the first one silently, which is the kometz, and then you did the levona with a machshava, then you can't say adat rishona, because you were silent in the first one, and there the chachamim say, you can't be mefagel and chatzi matir. So they will agree where you had the machshava in the kometz, and then silent in levona, because we'll carry it forward. Ushmol amar, adayinu machloket. Ushmol says that the machloket exists in both cases, meaning that even when you're silent in the second one, it doesn't matter, you still have a machloket. The reason being, is that he doesn't say shtika carries forward the machshava from the previous statement. That likely has to do with what we discussed on the Bet Amud Bet in the beginning of the Masechta, which is that when it comes to Kodeshim, machshava is not thought. Machshava is articulation. And therefore, without articulation, we're not going to carry anything forward. If you articulate that you're going to do something wrong, that's fine. Machshava, which shtika is a type of machshava, it's an inaction through machshava, that's not going to have bearing over here. And therefore, if you had an improper machshava in the first one and you're silent on the second one, silence in this case means you've done absolutely nothing. You're not carrying forward anything because only articulation can carry things forward. For that reason, Shmuel says the machloket exists even when you did the kometz with a improper machshava and then you did the levona silently. That would still result in a machloket, and the chachamim would say that's mefagel b'chatzi matir because we don't carry your machshava, which is really dibur, forward. So now, this might differ from the Gemara in Zvachim, because in the same Gemara in Zvachim, we have a diok just the opposite way, which is Reish Lakish says, Rabbi Meir fundamentally believes that you can't be mefagel b'chatzi matir. He thinks that the only time you can be mefagel b'chatzi matir is in the scenario that Rav puts out here, which is in a case where you had an improper machshava at the first case, and then you were silent in the second case, that's where Rabbi Meir has his shita. So that, first of all, seems to be in stira to what we're saying over here in our Gemara, and may relate to what we discussed before, which is the difference between our Gemara and the Gemara in Sota. Our Gemara believes that the Komets and the Levona are put on the Mizbech separately, whereas the Gemara in Sota says you put the Levona into the same Kli Sharet as the Komets, and then you put them together on the Mizbech. Once you do that, it might turn out that you have a different view as to what's considered to be first, second, whether shtika has impact on those things because they're being mukrav on the mizbeach together. So it's possible to explain that Gemara is following the shita in Sota, whereas this Gemara is following the shita of the Gemara here in Menachot, which says that there is separation between the hakravat hakometz and the hakravat hakavona. And that might also impact on the Rambam, who has an interesting shita here with regards to all of this. So all of those pieces might come together from that difference between our Gemara and the Gemara in Sota. Yotiv Rava, Bekamer La Lahashmaitato, he was saying over these memorot of Rav and Shmuel, Efe Ravacha Bar Ravuna the Rava. So now Ravacha Bar Ravuna queries of Rava, Bamed Vayim Amurim, when do we say this is true? Bekamitza, Ubi Matan Kli, Ubi Hiluch, Aval Balo La Akhtara, when it comes to Akhtara, Natana Tokometz Bishtika, Beta Lovuna Bimakshava, Tokometz Bimakshava, Beta Lovuna Bishtika, Rebbe Omer Pigul, Bechaylevim Alav Karet, So here you have three avodot where the Gemara says, where is it true? We don't have the beginning of the Braita over here, but as Rashi says, the Braita is a continuation of the Machshevet Avodat HaKometz Mifagel, that there's a Braita in Menachot that tells us that when you have a Machshava by the Avodat HaKometz, it is Mifagel. So the Braita then qualifies that and says, that's true. By kemitza, matan kli, ubi hiluch, all items that exist by the komets but don't exist by the levona. Once you get to haktara, which is something that applies to both the komets and the levona, over there, this is where you have the machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. That's what we've explained until now, that mefagel b'chatzi matir is only applicable in areas where the komets and the levona have a shared avoda that's done. That's haktara. But the important part of this braita is that it gives you an example. The examples are where you had a kometz b'machshava and levona b'shtika, or vice versa. You had a kometz b'shtika or levona b'machshava. Again, in the Gemara and Zvachim, the order here is reversed. Rabbi Meir Meir, Pigol and Chamim disagree. Tani miha, not that the kometz b'machshava v'et levona b'shtika, uplige, and they still argue. This sounds exactly like Shmuel and not like Rav. Ema ukvar natan et levona b'shtika mehikara. Says, no, he meant it to read, when it says there that they put on the levona b'shtika, it means this, it means that he already put the levona b'shtika, I mean that the shtika happened first. What he's trying to do is try to make it that the shtika is first in both cases, and therefore it's not a question on Rav. Shtei tshuvot b'davar. So he says back to him, Rava tries to give the answer, he says, I have two answers to you. First of all, chada hainu d'kamaita. Then what's the difference between the two scenarios that are laid out by the Braita? It said, natana d'kometz b'shtika. Which then everybody agrees, even Rav agrees there's going to be a machloket there because shtika was first. Now you're telling me the second case is a komets of machshava, but the levona b'shtika, levona b'shtika means levona beforehand was done b'shtika. But then how's that different than the first case? First case was a case of shtika and then machshava. Now you have another case of shtika and machshava. Why are you giving me two cases of identical? It also says specifically, v'acharkach, and afterwards. So it doesn't say that you did it this and this. It said ba'acharkach, and afterwards you did this. So afterwards is a pretty good indication of sequence. It's not saying you did the kvar natan, you already did this beforehand. No, acharkach means it happened afterwards. So therefore, this braita seems to be a significant question against Rav. The answer is, targum aruchanina bebet deot. He solves the problem by saying, we're dealing with two different kohanim over here. You assume that there was one kohen doing the avodah. If one Gawain is doing the Avodah, then you can apply the principle that whatever he did Berishona then continues on to the other Avodot. But if it's two different Kohanim, you can't say that. If the first Gawain did something with an improper Makshava, and the second Gawain comes and does it without any Makshava at all, that doesn't mean that the first Gawain's Makshava should apply or affect the second Gawain's Makshava. Tashma. So now let's try to bring another proof against this concept. B'damim v'nitanim al mizbeach chitzon. When do we say that the matanot are not me'akev, and therefore you have a machshava by one matana, it impacts on the korban. That's when they're talking about korbanot on the mizbeach chitzon. Because there, we all know that one matana is enough, even though there are requirements for more than that, but me'akev is only one matana. But denima, denima, mizbeach apnimi. The damim that go on the mizbeach apnimi, means the mizbeach zav, but it's not just there, it means on the parochet, or in the ben abadim, means anything that's done in the heichal, kagon, mem gimel shel yom ha-kippurim. Like the 43 matnot dam of Yom Kippur, pechadis reshio par kohen mashiach, pechadis reshio par lam dover shel tzibur. And similarly, the 11 of the par kohen mashiach, par lam dover shel tzibur, those are 11 matanot. All of those are me'akev each other. So just throw this quickly, because we're going to have to come back to it again and later in today's daf. The 43 of Yom Kippur have to do with the fact that you have two animals that you are bringing the dam into the echal for, a par and a seir. So now, whatever you do with the par, you're also going to do with the seir. So for the par, you first of all bring in and do 8 matanot ben abadim, or in front of the aron, in front of the kaporet. That is, echat damala sheva lamata. And then you do the same avodah on the parochet. You exit the Kodesh HaKodeshim and do that in the Kodesh opposite the Aron on the parochet. That's a total of 16 for the par. And you will do the exact same thing for the Seir. Both Ben Abadim and then in front of the parochet. 16 plus 16 is 32. After that, according to this Deya, you mix the blood of the par and the Seir into one utensil. And then you do 4 matnot on the Karnot to Mizbeach HaZav. And 7 al tiarosh al mizbeach, and 7 on the top, the face of the mizbeach. That's an additional 11. 32 plus 11 is 43. That's how we get to the 43. We'll see later today that there are other numbers depending on different shitot with regards to what you need to do with the dam apar and dam asir. But right now, 43. Broken up into 16 that are done inside of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. 8 for the par, 8 for the seir. 16 that are done by the parochet. And 11 that are done on the mizbeach zahab. With regards to the Parlam Davashat Sibur and the Par Kohen Mashiach, over there you have a requirement for 7 that are done Lifnei Parochet, and then you have 4 that are done on the Mizbeach HaZahav. So that gets you 7 plus 4 is 11. So that's the 11 matnot here. Pigel b'rishona, ben b'shnia, or ben b'shlishit, v'yaz ha-machshev pigol, whether in the first, second, or third, Rabbi Meir omer pigol b'cheilim elav karet, v'mim amim bo karet, v'yashivagel b'chol ha-matir. So here we know with regards to the matnot dam of the pnimim of the echal, they're all me'akev each other. They're integrally tied together, and if you fail in any one of them, the whole thing is pasul. So that means that in order for it to be a matir, in order for you to be mefagel the matir, you need to get it across the whole grouping. I mean, across the whole 43, across the whole 11. And that's evidenced by the fact here that you have a machloket. If you're mefagel in the rishunah, shniah, or shlishit, as Rashi indicates here, and the Bali Tosafot say you didn't have to say that, but the Gemara further on makes it clear that Rashi's right, that Rishona, Shniyah, Shlishit means the series. Rishona means the series, Ben Abadim, or in front of the Aron. Shniyah means the series in front of the Parochet. And Shlishit means the series on the Mizbeach HaZahav. So here, if you have a Machshev Pigul in any one of these series, Rabbi Meir says Pigul, because it's Chatzi Matir, and according to him, a Chatzi Matir can't create Pigul. Chamim say, until you're mefagel across the board, there is no pigul over here. Now, what's interesting about this is, tanimiyat pigel berishona, bishniyah, ben berishona, ben bishniyah, ben mishlishit, uplige. It says here in the Braita, that if you're mefagel on the first series, second series, and third series, there's still a machloket. But with regards to the second and third series, I understand that. But with regards to the first series, according to Rav, the Chamim should agree that after you were mefagel in the first series, everything you do after that is governed by your machshava in the first case. That means if you have a pigul in the first series, it should be pigul according to the chachamim. At least way Rav is qualifying the position of the chachamim. Well, now if you're going to say to me, okay, you know what? No problem. Two kohanim did the avoda. Same way we answered the problem before. You have two kohanim, and therefore you can't carry the machshava forward. That's anicha lamandamar bepar vafilu b'damoshel par. That works well, according to the one who says that the requirement of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim is to bring a par for himself. That par is brought for himself and his fellow Kohanim, but it is a par that belongs to the particular Kohen Gadol. So now, if you say that when you bring that par for the Kohen Gadol, that means whether it's the par or the Damoshel par, that is okay. then in that case, if the Kohen Gadol became Tamei, or passed away, and therefore we need to bring in a new Kohen Gadol, backup Kohen Gadol, he can continue to do the Avodah with Damo Shofar. Because it doesn't matter if he comes Bepar, or if he comes with Damo Shofar, either one of those are what the Kohen Gadol needs to do. Elamand Amar Bepar, Velo B'Damo Shofar, according to one who says that the Kohen Gadol has to come in with his own par, and it's not good enough if he comes in with the Dama par, that means that the new Kohen Gadol has to start over again. So Ma'ika the Meimar, then Shtei Dayot don't help you then, because if you bring in a new Kohen Gadol, you're starting from scratch. So that's not going to answer the question then. So Amar Rava, Hachamai Eskinen, Gagon. Now here, there is a major discrepancy in what the Girsa is, both between Menachot and Zvachim, as well as between Rashi here, and Rashi and Zvachim, as well as the Balei Tosafot. Rashi gives one interpretation here, the other one in Zvachim, and both places Tosafot questions it based on the other location. But the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, we'll follow that first, and then we'll work our way through the others, is, Gagon Shepigel Berishona, Bishatak Bishnia, Upigel Bishlishit. It's a case where you have a Machshevet Pigol in the first one, you're silent in the second one, and then you have Machshevet Pigol in the third one. Di Amrinan, because then we would say, Isak Adatcha Koloseh Adad Rishona Woseh. So if you believe that whatever his first Machshava is carries forward through the whole sequence, then Mihadar Pigule Bishlishit Namali. Why did he bother to have a machshava in the third case? Meaning that if he believed that the machshava in the first case was good enough to take care of everything, he would have said nothing for the remainder. And then we would have assumed that his machshava continues throughout the series. But he left silent in the second one, which would have made us carry it forward. But then he did pigo, had a machshava pigo in the third one. That already undermines conceptually this idea that you're carrying machshava forward, because then you activated a machshava in the third one, which you didn't need to do. That already is mareh on the second one, that clearly you were not carrying your machshava forward. So you were carrying machshava forward, you wouldn't have said anything by the third one. The fact that you actively have a machshava in the third one implies that you didn't intend to have one by the second one, and it was almost like a negative coming up, which is the way the Balei Tosafot say the Gemara could have answered. He says, he could have just said, I'm not doing it based on the Medar Rishona. You could have negative Kavanah, which is a broader question. The Balei Tosafot invoked this principle in a number of places about negative Kavanah. Are you able to use negative Kavanah to prevent a problem from happening? And there is a machloket within the Achronim as to whether the negative Kavanah is effective. And the father-in-law of Rav Soloveitchik, who he quotes in a footnote in his Sefer, says that you can only have negative Kavanah when Kavanah is required. I mean, that if there's a necessity for Kavanah, then negative Kavanah could be effective. But if there is no necessity for Kavanah, then negative Kavanah can't help, because then negative Kavanah is no different than not having Kavanah at all. And therefore you can't have impact. So that is the machloket amongst the achronim, how far negative Kavanah can go. And it has implications halachically, for instance, in cases where you want to do a mitzvah but not be yotze that mitzvah. You want to engage in activity or do something but not be yotze the mitzvah because you want to do it later, you want to do it in a different way. Does your negative Kavanah help? For instance, Tosafot uses this as an answer for the Gemara Sukkah, when a person takes a lulav and etrog and wants to make the bracha. How do you make the bracha without the lulav and etrog being too far away? Because otherwise there's a gap between your bracha and the execution of the mitzvah. But then if you pick it up, you've automatically been mekayim the mitzvah. As soon as you pick up the lulav and etrog, you're done. How do you make a bracha after you've done the mitzvah? You're supposed to make the bracha beforehand. So Balei Tosafot will give a number of suggestions over there, including the suggestion that we use, which is to turn it upside down. To have the one of them not be in the way, we turn the etrog upside down. And then make the bracha and flip it over so you're very close to doing the mitzvah, but you haven't done it yet. One of the other suggestions of the Balei Tosafot there is to have negative kavanah. Pick it up without an intent to do the mitzvah. And since you have negative kavanah, that will then protect you from doing the mitzvah. You'll make the bracha and then you'll intend to do the mitzvah. So over there, this question would be relevant, which is, can you have negative kavanah over there when there's no necessity for kavanah to be yotze? Simply when you pick up the luv and etrog, Mikdaagbe, Yotzebe. As soon as you pick it up, you're Yotze. So then, can negative Kavanah help if you don't need Kavanah to be Yotze the Mitzvah? So that might relate to whether you need Kavanah for Asiyat the Mitzvah. I mean, is there a requirement of Kavanah for Mitzvot, or is there no Kavanah, requirement of Kavanah? If you believe Mikdaagbe, Yotzebe, and there's no need for Kavanah, then according to that view of the father-in-law of Soloveitchik, then you would have to say that negative Kavanah won't happen, and that suggestion of the Balei Tosafot wouldn't work according to that view, because there's no requirement of Kavanah. Negative Kavanah won't help. So again, the Tosafot suggests that as an answer over here, but that may not be a good enough answer, because here there's no requirement for maybe Kavanah. Over here, if you have Shtika, if you do nothing, we assume Beit Din imposes the Kavanah there, and you don't have to do anything. So if there's no requirement of Kavanah, maybe negative Kavanah would not be sufficient over here. Maybe that's why the Gemara didn't go down that route. All right, so that's the first answer the Gemara gives over here, is that he did it Rishona Shetak Rishona Pigel B'Shlishit. Because the fact that he activated again in the Shlishit implies by the Shenit that that's not what he meant to do. Matkiv L'Ravashi, Mida Shatok Tani. Where do you ever see the word Shatak in the Braita? It never says the word Shatak. You invented this new case here in the Braita to say, oh, he was Machshava in the first, silent in the second, and Machshava in the third. Where did you ever come up with this Shtika? Elam Ravashi Ochamai Skinan Kagon Shepigel B'Rishona B'Shnia U'B'Shlishit. This is where the Girsa is a little bit controversial, which is, he has a Machshava Pigol in the first, second, and third. All three of them. Tidam Rina Yisak Adat Chosel Da Rishona Useh V'Hadar Pigulei B'Shnia U'B'Shlishit Lomali. Then why does he bother to have a Machshava Pigol in the second and third one, if it can carry forward? And that's why over here it doesn't carry forward, because he activated. So Gemara says, Vaha, ben katani. Wait a minute. The way the Braita lends it out is, ben berishona, ben bishniya, ben bishlishit, which implies or. It doesn't imply that you had a makshava across all of them. Kasha, that is a good question. That does leave us a little bit unresolved with regards to this Braita. Now, the Braita is difficult because if you have a Makhshev Pigol in the first, second, and third, what's left? Ravashi gave an answer that you had a Makhshev Pigol in the first, second, and third. Then what are you carrying forward if you have a Makhshev Pigol in all three of them? So that starts the problem here. And that already, Rashi, you can see, has a slightly different Kriyusa. Rashi says, I'm Ravashi Kagon, Shepigel Birishona, Ubishniya, Vishatak Bishlishit. That's not our Girsa. Our Girsa is that he also has a Makshav Pigol in the third one. Rashi's Girsa over here is that he's silent in the third one. Takati Avichatzi Matir. So then Tosafot's going to ask, how's this different than the case before? Rabashi just criticized Rova for saying Pigol Shtika Pigol. And then he says, no, it's Pigol Shtika. And why did he reject Rova? Because it doesn't say Shtika. What do you mean? You just created the exact same case, just you moved the Shtika around. Tosafot says the location of the Shtika matters. If you have pigol, shtika, pigol, there the bright would have to indicate that. That's like in the middle, you have this different thought or different thing in the middle, you'd have to indicate it. But over here we have pigol, shtika, and the shtika's at the end. Maybe the bright does not have to explain that. I could just say pigol, rishona, shtia, and that's enough that the shlishit is bishtika, doesn't have to identify it. That's the way the Baal Yitzchak would answer on behalf of Rashi here. But the Baal Yitzchak will point out that that's not the way Rashi explains it in Zvachim. In the Gemara in Zvachim, Rashi had the Girsa of Rishona, Shnia, Ushlishit. His Girsa is they have a Machshava in all three of them. So then where's the problem? The Revi'it. What's the Revi'it then? So there are two ways to create the Revi'it over here. One way to create the Revi'it is if you believe that the Shirayim are Me'akev. Because then there's a fourth stage over here. The first ones are the Ben Abadim by the Aron. The second ones are by the Parochet. The third ones are by the Mizbeach Zahav. The fourth one is the Shirayim, which are Me'akev. And that's the fourth one we're speaking about. Or, the other alternative is to say that the Matnot Dam and the Mizbeach Zahav are split in half. Which is that the Matnot Dam and the Mizbeach Zahav are the four corners of the Mizbeach Zahav, and then the seven on the Tiro Shel Mizbeach. Now that would work well, according to the one who says that you only mix the blood for the last seven Matnot. For the four, you don't mix the blood. And therefore you would have, they're really separate. They could be separated because they're different. On the four, you put on from the pyre separately, from the seer separately. Then for the seven, you join them together. That explains why you would divide the Mizbeach Zav in half. Problem is that we already saw in this Braita, he thinks they're 43 Matanot. If you believe they're 43 Matanot, means you mix the blood even before the four Matanot on the Mizbeach Zav. So that's why Tosafot is vacillating on this answer of the fourth. His biggest claim against it is, Revi'it Mandekar Shmei. Whoever mentioned four. The only thing we've mentioned along all the way along here is three. Where did four come from? So that is the biggest question against this. But according to the way Rashi has the Girsa here, that it's Mishna Shnia is V'Machshava, then Shatak V'Shlishit. That also has impact on the previous statement of Rava. Rava's previous statement was, Apigel B'Rishona Shatak V'Shina Apigel B'Shlishit. That was Rava's statement. If you look at the Masorah Shas, there's brought here from the Tzom Kodashim, says, Berishona u'bishniya. That he had Makhshevet Pigol Berishona u'bishniya. If you really believe it carries forward, then why did he bother to have another machshava in the second one? Well, since he had a machshava in the second one, it means that the third one is not going to carry forward, because if he thought he could carry it forward, he should have been silent on the second one. So that's an alternate girsa over there, which is berishona ubishnia. But that only works if you have a girsa in the end of rishona, shnia, and shlishit. Because otherwise, this answer of Rava and Ravashi are exactly the same. So again, all these girsa'ot interact, depending on what you think the girsa is in each case, will affect what you think the girsa is in the other case. And then you'd have to explain the difference between Rava and Ravashi, and then explain if you think that there's pigo in all three of them, how does that work for Ravashi? And again, it differs between here and the Gemara in Zvachim, and Rashi here says, shatak b'shlishit, although in the Gemara in Zvachim he says that b'shlishit he had a makshava, and it's the fourth one, and Tosva there says, revid mandakar shmei, and over here where Rashi says, shtika, Tosva goes the other way and says, wait, what do you mean? Where's the shtika over here? How's that different than Rava? Because Rava also had shtika. And he answers that shtika in the end is different than shtika in the middle. All right, now the Gemara continues. Amar Mar. Rabbi Mei Omer, Pigul v'chayvin alav karet. Michtei, karet lo michayev, ad shi karvu kol amatirim. Wait a minute. We know when it comes to Pigul, the only time Pigul works is if you did the korban correctly, with the exception of the makshava of chutz lizmano. Damamar yiratze. So the pasuk says, doesn't really say yiratze, it says, pigul hu lo yiratze. But that lo yiratze means, because it's pigul, because you had a makshavah chutz lizmano, that's what lo yiratze. Otherwise, yiratze. That's what we have here. Karatzat kasher kachartzat psul. Now we learn from that the artzah of the pasul is exactly like the artzah of the kasher. Maratzat kasher achi karvu kol amatirim. Just like by a kasher, in order for it to work, you gotta get everything on the mizbeach. Avarzat pasul ajikarvu kolamatirim. Similar with pigol, you need to get everything done right, with the exception of your makshava of chutz lizmano. Bahai, over here. And this has to do with the fact that each series is considered to be a separate entity, even though they're all ma'akev each other. And therefore, kevin dechoshim babifnim pasle. When you have a makshava of chutz lizmano, when you do the matno dam, by the Aron, right, inside of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, ki madi beheichal mayu ba'almahu dekomodi. When you come out and do the matno dam afterwards, it's like you're sprinkling water. Since you already were poselet when you were in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, now when you come out and you do the matno dam in the heichal, it's as if pouring water on there, because you already ruined the korban beforehand. So now, Amar Rabba, Mishkachaba, ba'arba'a parim, ba'arba'a si'irim. This is in defense of Rashi, because here the answer of Rabba is, you need four parim and four seirim. If you have four parim and four seirim, then you've now made each series an independent series with a new par and with a new seir. So even though you made the first par pasul when you had the wrong makshava in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, but then when you bring a new par to that which is in the Kodesh, that's a fresh par, and everything you do now is fine, and is a good zatadam to refresh. Now this goes according to the Mandamar, that each series is independent, and each series, if you finish that series, and then the dam is spilled, you can bring a new korban and start from the new series, you don't have to go back to the beginning. And so therefore here, you can have arba parim and arba sirim. Why do you need four? Didn't we just say before there are three series? There's a series in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the series in the Eichal, and then the series in the Mizbeach HaZav. That's three series. Why do you need four parim over here? Answer to that question is that there is a fourth thing. The fourth thing is either, like the Baal Tosafot already has said before, the fourth thing is either that the Shirayim are Me'akev, or that the Mizbeach HaZav is divided into two parts, that which is the Matnot on the corners, and the Matnot that are on the top of the Mizbeach HaZav. This helps that Sheet of Rashi and Zvachim, that there is a fourth case, because otherwise, Rabba could have just said three parim and three serim. Why did he mention four? That indicates there is a fourth series over here. And that would be supportive of Rashi's view in Zvachim, that there were three and the fourth one was the shtika. So just keep in mind. Baal Tosafot asks over here, and in Zvachim, wait a minute, how come when you have, outside of a series, you're telling me here, if you do something wrong in the first series, then the second series is water. Why don't you say that within the first series itself? Once you have a makshevet pasul, then the remainder of the series, internally, should be water, like you're doing nothing. So the Baal Tosafot over here say, give a different answer than they give in Zvachim. It's just so interesting that you have here the Gemarot that are identical, and in each place, Many of the Rishonim, Rashi, is indicating differently than he did in Tzvachim, and same with the Baal Tosafot. Baal Tosafot over here say, Rabbeinu Tam Mefaresh, Kebechad Makom, Kshitalei Dorminim Mayim Baalmahu. Then in one location, we don't say that. When you're involved in a single series, we don't say the remainder of the series is water. V'hacha Gzeira Takatuv. Ava B'shnei Mekomot, V'hacha Lo Ayrikra, Umayim Baalmakomodi. When Tchilat Avodah until the Gemara Avodah, it's considered to be one thing. And the Gzeirat HaKatuv is that even though you had a Machshevet Pigul, it's all good. The remainder is considered to be good enough to get you the problem of Pigul, even though you already had a Machshevet Pigul, which really ruins it. So that, he says, is true within a single series or a single unit, that from beginning to Avodah and Avodah, we consider everything to be good with the exception of your Machshevet Pigul. That's the way Rabbeinu Tam answers here. In the Gemara Tzvachim, Tosafot brings, it was when you had a machshava on the last matnadam of that series. So that since it was at the last one, it doesn't affect it. But ain't okanami. Had you had it earlier in the series, you'd have the same problem even internally in the series. So those are two answers that are given. Rashi over here says, Vikasha, wait a minute. What about kmitza and shchita or kabbalat adam and shchitat adam? Why don't we say there, once you're mifagel in the shchita or the kabbalah, then how come the zrikat adam is not just throwing water on the mizbeach? The same way you ask over here, that once you've done the first series problematically, the second series is water, why'd you say if you did the shchita or the kabbalat adam b'machshevet pigul, then the zrika of the dam is like throwing water on the mizbeach? How come over here when you ruin it up front, the remaining series considered to be water, and we have when you do a shchita or a kabbalah with the wrong machshava, we don't say the zrika there is like water? So Rashi answers, Da'atam ota avuda shpigel ba'nasit kula b'kdushata. The avoda that you had the machshevet pigul was done entirely by kedushata. Aval hanach hazot kada avodahi. He says the problem is that here all the matnot dam are considered to be one big avoda. And since they are one big avoda, once you have a machshevet pigul in one part of the series, and they're discrete parts of this avoda, then the second discrete part becomes problematic. It's like water. In the case of shchita, kabbalah, and zrikah, each one of those items is an entire avoda by itself. And therefore, when you had a machshava by shchita, you had a machshava in the entirety of the shchita. So you did that all avoda by machshavet chutz lizmano. Now you move on to kabbalah. That's a new avoda. New avoda. We don't say mayav alma. Internally, in one avoda, we'll say mayav alma as long as there are discrete parts to it. Over there, by shchita, by kabbalah, there are no discrete parts to it. That's the way Rashi answers the problem. The Baal Tosafot say over here, Rashi brings that answer, but in Zvachim, he answers differently. And he says over there, Hatam Gzeret HaKatuvu. That is a Gzeret HaKatuv, that, like you were saying, that's what the Torah says. Gotta do the rest correctly. It doesn't matter that you did it improperly up front, and now the Korban is Pasul. Nevertheless, if you do the remainder as if it was fine, that's what makes it into Pigol, even though they're really not fine. That's how Rashi answers it there, that it's a Gzeret HaKatuv. Somewhat relying on what I think the answer that the Gemara is about to give here, which is Rav Amar, Afilu Teima Parachad Basirachad, Difkulei Miratze. That's the answer. That you're right. It's water in terms of making the Korban Kasher. As far as Pigul is concerned, that's a Gzeret HaKatuv, that the Matot Dam are effective to make this into Pigul as long as you continue on to do the remainder of the Korban. Right now, the Gemara goes back to the count. That's why I said it was important before. Arba'im v'shalosh, there are only 43 matnot dam on Yom HaKippurim. V'atanya, arba'im v'sheva. What about that? We have a break that says there are 47. Lo kasha, akaman damar ma'arvim lekarnot. Akaman damar enim arvim lekarnot. That's what we said before. Depends when you mix the par and seir's dam together. If you mix them together before any matnot on the Mizbech Zahav, then you have 43. If you only mix them together after you've done the four matnot on the corners of the Mizbech Zahav, that means you do four for the par, four for the Seir, and then you mix them together for the seven on the top. That gives you an additional four. That's how you get from 43 to 47. So that's that braita. Vatanya arba'im v'shmona. Wait a minute, we have a braita that says there are 48. Lo kash aman damar shirayim me'akvim. Hagaman damar shirayim lo me'akvim. That's according to the man damar who says that shirayim are me'akev the kaparat. That gets you a 48th. But you have to pour that dam on the mizbeach itself. And according to the one who says shirayim are not ma'akev, then you're capped out at 47 and you don't have 48. Those are the three different possibilities of this, how many matnot dam you'd have. 43, 47, and 48. Truth is, you could have 44, which is if you believe that you mixed the dam for all the matnot mizbech zahav and the mashariya dam is ma'akev, that would get you 44. So that's another possibility that we don't have necessarily in a braita. Alright. Ibailo, now we move on to a new issue, which is Pigel Beolacha Mahu. Person has a Makshevet Pigol in Olacha, what is the din? So let's just take a step back and remember that when it comes to Kmitzat HaKometz, that is something that's unique to the Kometz, does not apply by Livona. For that reason, if you have a Makshevet Pigol by the Kmitzah, you are Mifagel the Korban, because you've done it in the entire Matir for that object. By Haftara, the placement on the Mizbeah, we know that both the Kometz and the Livona go on the Mizbeah, and they both have Haftara, therefore you have a Makshevet Pigol in one of them. That doesn't make it pigol because you still have the other matir. That was mifagel bechatzi matir. That's the machlokin for Chachamim and Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah. What the Gemara now is asking is about holacha. What is the status of holacha? Is holacha considered to be something that's uniquely associated with the kometz? Or is holacha also something that's associated with the levona? You have to take the levona to the mizbeah. You have to take the kometz to the mizbeah. So one matir here that involves two parts to it, the holacha of the kometz and the holacha of the levona. Or is holacha something that's uniquely associated with the kometz, but levona, the din of holacha is not necessarily relevant because you don't need to do holacha. And therefore you don't consider them to be a joint matir. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, holacha kekemitzah. Rabbi Yochanan says holacha is just like kemitzah, uniquely associated with the kometz, not applicable to the levona. Holacha is like haktara, which means that it is not unique to the kometz. It is applicable both to levona and the kometz. Bishlama the Reish Lakish ikanami holacha de levona. All right, according to Reish Lakish, we understand. You have the holacha of the levona, you have the holacha of the kometz. Both of those have to be done in order to get it to the mizbeach, and that's why you have overlapping avodot that make it that there's now two parts to this matir. El Rabbi Yochanan, my time. What's Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning? Amar Rava, Kasav Rabbi Yochanan, kol avodah she'ena materet. Any avodah that does not provide a matir, avodah chashuvai lefagel aleha bifnei atzma. It becomes a unique and singular avodah that makes it that it itself can be mifagel. So now let's start with the first piece of this statement of Rava, which is, kol avodah she'ena materet. Any avodah that's not matir. Rashi over here says, ena materet means delo me'akva. Any avodah that's not ma'akev the kapara, as we know, with regards to holacha, you could dispense with it. You could either pass it from kohen to kohen and not take it, or you could do the shechita right next to the mizbeach, and then you won't need holacha at all. Or you could do the kemitzah right by the mizbeach, and then you won't need holacha. Rashi says that's the first statement of Rava. Holacha is not ma'akev. Since it's not ma'akev, therefore, it is now ein avodah chashuva lefagaleha bifnei atzma. The Baalei HaTosafot is brought in the Shita Mekubetzet over here, and Od Daled questions this view of Rashi, because if that's the case, Shechita, the Gemara is about to ask about Shechita, and how could you ask about Shechita? Shechita is clearly Ma'akevet. You can't do a Korban without Shechita. So how could the Gemara ask from Shechita right after this, if it's obvious that it's Ma'akev? She says that can't be the explanation of Enem Ateret. But rather, Enem Ateret means, nearly, Da'aki Pe'usho, She'enem Ateret, She'enem Mo'elet L'shum Davar. It does absolutely nothing. As opposed to Zrikata Dam, that is matir the basar to the Kohanim, and matir the chilev and the emurim to the mizbeach, the cholacha does absolutely nothing. It is not a matir in any way. It's not matir anything else. Now, it is a facilitator, and that's why it's classified as an avoda. So according to Rashi and the Baalei Tosafot, the reason it's an avoda is because it facilitates your ability to do the Zrikata Dam. It is not a matir, according to Rashi, means it's not ma'akev. According to Baalei Tosafot, it's not matir anything else. But it is a facilitator. And in being a facilitator, it is considered an avodah chashuva. But because it's not a matir, you can't say that it is a chatzi matir. Even if you do the same thing by levona, it's not a chatzi matir because it's not matir anything else. The reason it's significant is because it's an avodah. Its significance is gained by its facilitating other things that you're going to do along the way, including the Zrikat Adam. So if that's the case, then you can't speak about a chatzi facilitator. That's not the case. It's facilitating the Zrika, it's facilitating the placement of the kometz on the mizbeach. That's a full facilitation. And therefore, that avoda by itself, you could have a machshavet pigul in it. That's Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning. Amalei Abaye, harei shechita, techad min hakvasim, tovada she'ena matirata. What about shechita? This was the question of the Baalei Tosafot and Rashi's explanation, because shechita is me'akevet. You have shechita, one of the kvasim, which is not matir. Uplige, and yet they argue over there. That's our Mishnah. The Chachamim argue on Rabbi Meir and say that that's a chatzi matir. Tznan shachat echad min hakvasim lechol shtei chalot demachar hikdir echad min habazichim lechol shnei sederim demachar Rabbi Meir omer pigol b'chayv nel makareit Rabbi Meir omer ein bo karet ayshivagel b'chol amatir. So there's shchita, which is not a matir, and yet b'chamim say that's mifagel b'chatzi matir, and it doesn't work. So malei misvarat lechem b'tanur kadosh. No, you don't understand. It is a matir. You think that the shtei lechem that come with the shnei kvasim, they become kadosh because you bake them in the oven? Because they went into a klisha rate? That's what makes them kadosh? Shchita kvasim mikad shalei. The way that the shtei lechem gained their kedusha, or their elevated status, is through the shchita of the kvasim. That means the kvasim are a matir. They're the ones that generate the kedusha associated with shtei lechem. Bala kadesh, kabah lahatir dami. This is an expression that Rashi already gave us earlier, which is that when you come to be mikadesh, that's equivalent of being matir. Meiti Rav Shimi Barashi. Acherim omrim, some say, hikti mulim la'arilim, kasher. If you have an improper makshava with regards to the shchita at Pesach, by the Pesach, only someone who has a brit milah can participate in the korban of Pesach. So here he has a makshava of mulim and arilim. Rashi says over here he had a makshavet mulim by the first siman of shchita, and he had a makshavet arilim by the second siman of the shchita. In the process of shchita, you have two simanim, but each one of the simanim, he had a different makshava. So if he has it in this order, he does the mulim first, and then the arilim second, kasher. Hikdim arilim the mulim, and he does it the opposite way around, he does the arilim first, and then the mulim afterwards, pasul. V'kaimelon, v'chatzi matir plige. And that achirim, as opposed to the previous position in the breita, which is that it doesn't matter which order you do it in, it's pasul. We said there that they're arguing about chatzi matir. And over here, where you do a machshava by one of the simanim and then the other siman, that's the equivalent. What the Gemara is saying is that machloket is about a chatzi matir. That each one of the simanim is a matir to the totality of shchita. And there they have a machloket about shchita. So there you see that shchita, even though you're claiming things that are not a matir, don't have a concept of chatzi matir, yet by shchita, they're saying that there is a concept of chatzi matir. And here, by the Korban of Pesach, speaking about shchita, over there, there's no shtei lechem by the Korban of Pesach, that it's being matir. So then, what exactly is the matir in that shchita? Amalei misavarat dam b'tzavar be'ima kadosh. You think that the blood in the neck of the be'ima is kadosh? Dam sakin mikad shalei. This is what Rashi quoted already at the beginning of the perek, with regards to why machshevet shchita, machshevet zrikar, or mitzareif, is because they're both matirim. And Rashi quoted this Gemara, why are they both matirim? Because by shchita, it is a mikadesh of the dam. Babala kadesh, kebala atir dami. And someone who comes to be mikadesh is like he's being matir, and therefore there's a kiddush, ayidei the shchita of the be'ima, which creates all sorts of issues, because we said before, isn't there Kabbalat Adam into the Kli Sharet that makes it into that which is Kadosh when it lands in the Kli Sharet? So the Baal Tosafot asked that, and Baal Tosafot back on the Dalet Amud Bet said, "Bim Tomar Kabbalah Nami Mikadesh into the Dam, the Kli Sharet, La Pirchayi, the Dam Sakin Mikachile. It's the Dam Sakin that does the Kiddush. Kabbalat Adam is just a facilitation to do the Zrikat Adam afterwards. And therefore it's not the Mikadesh, the Sakin is Mikadesh." As I noted to you back on Yudalot Amud Bet, that has major nafkamina, which the Tosfot discuss, as to whether the knife that you're doing the shchita with has to be a kli sharet. If you believe that it is mikadesh, the dam, then you would assume that it has to be a kli sharet. Their problem with that is that it's contradicted by Gemarot, including the beginning of Chulin, which say that you can do shchita bikrumit shel kaneh, that you can do it with a reed, or you can do it with something that's wood. We know that wood is not used for kli sharet, except according to Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. And so therefore, how do you have a kli sharet then? So Baal Tosfot says, it's according to Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why you can use it, and it would be a kli sharet. So the Baal Tosfot argues strongly in favor of saying that it is a kli sharet. They do have a second opinion there, where they discuss this in a number of places in Zvachim, as well as in Chulin. They suggest the possibility that you have to have a kli that is significant, but not a kli sharet. Which is that the shchita da be'ima is what's mikadesh the dam. It's not the knife. It is the actual shchita. But you have to do the shchita with a proper utensil. That doesn't mean a kli sharet. It just means a nice utensil. As long as it's a good knife for shchita, that's okay. You can't use something that is not dignified or not proper, because that's not the right way to be mikadesh the dam. but not that there's an absolute necessity for a Kli Sharet. And others just suggest that the Shechita itself is what begins the Kiddush process, and the Kabbalat Adam is what finalizes it. That's why you don't need the Kli Sharet by the knife, because the Kli Sharet that does the capture finishes off that Kiddushah. The Shechita starts it, and it's finished off by the Kabbalat Adam. Those are all different ways to deal with it, but it's definitely an issue that surrounds the question of Shechita and whether Shechita needs a Kli Sharet. So now, again, we've dismissed both of these questions. In both cases, we showed that you have some sort of action that is a matir through the fact that it's Mekadesh. Shechita is Mekadesh Lelechem. Shechita is Mekadesh the Idam. So in those cases, that Shechita is considered to be a matir. And when you have a matir, that's where you can have something that's Mefagel Bechatzi Matir, or not be Mefagel Bechatzi Matir, as opposed to Holacha, which is not a matir, and therefore there's no din of Chatzi Matir by Holacha. So Tashma, Bamed Dvarim Amurim, this is the bright that we just quoted earlier at the beginning of today's daf, where we said, Bamed Dvarim Amurim, where is that true that you have a Machshova by the Kometz that is impactful? That is B'kmitza, B'matan Kli, U'B'hiluch. So those, by those three avodot, that's where if you have a machshava, it is impactful. And we don't say that it is a chatzi matir. By haktara, we say that it's a chatzi matir. My love, what do we have here? We have kmitza, matan kli, and then hiluch. So Gemara says, my love, hiluch daktara. The hiluch that we're speaking about here is hiluch to take it to the mizbeach. That's against Reish Lakish, who says that hiluch is like haktara. Over here saying hiluch is like kmitza and matan kli, which is then not a chatzi matir. Lo, hiluch de matan kli. We're talking about the hiluch to take it from the point of kmitza to put it into a kli sharit. Iochi, then why is the brayta bring it as matan kli, and then only afterwards hiluch? Hiluch be matan kli mi baile. It should have changed the order to be hiluch and then matan kli. Because you're telling me the hiluch here is not about bringing it to the mizbeach. The hiluch here is about bringing it to the kli sharit. Ha, lo kasha, tnei ochi. You're, that's not a question. Just change the brayta to read that way. We could do that. Balolo laktara. So then, why does the brayta continue and say balolo haktara? At that point, he reaches the haktara. Balolo holacha. So it should have said balolo holacha. The next stage should have been holacha and not haktara. You're telling me now that the brayta reads in the following manner: b'emet demorim b'kmitza b'hiluch u'b'matan kli. All those are singular matirim, and therefore you have a machshev pigul, it's pasul. But once you get to akhtara, that's not true. That's how the brayta continues. Uba akhtara, it's different. According to you, it should be uba holacha, it's different, because Reish Lakish thinks that holacha is also a joint matir with the lavona. So why does it go down to akhtara? It should go to holacha. Halokasha, kevin do holacha, sorech akhtarahi, kari la akhtara. Since holacha is a facilitator of akhtara, it calls holacha in the greater name of haktara. Haktara includes both the haktara itself, as well as the holacha that facilitates the haktara. Ela natana takometz bishtika holich mibayile. Wait a minute. How come the scenario there that we spoke about was that he put a kometz bishtika, meaning that the discussion was about where in that brayta where he did the livona b'machshevet pigol and the Kometz bishtika, or vice versa? Why is it speaking about in the continuation of the brayta? Natana to kometz bishtika v'tolovana b'makshava. V'tokometz b'makshava v'tolovana bishtika. There's where we have the machloket of pigul. According to you, it shouldn't be natan, meaning placing on the mizbeach. It should be holich mibayile. That should have been what's written over there. Kasha. That is a problem. That is a difficulty for the explanation of Reish Lakish. Although you could try to answer again that the holacha is a subset of haktara, and therefore the netina over there is netina al-gabi ha-mizbeach. Alright, now the Gemara continues. Hiktir shum shum lechol shum shum. So he was maktir a sesame seed's worth of the korban, with the intent to eat a sesame's worth of the residual, the she'arim, chutz lizmano, ad shekala kometz kulo. He kept doing this until he finished up the whole kometz. So he was maktir the whole kometz, makshev pigol, but he did it piecemeal. He did it sesame seed size at a time. So the word shum shum in the Gemara is the equivalent of the modern day sum sum, which is sesame, but it means a very small piece. He did it in very small pieces. He did aktara of a small piece, And then he had a machshava in each one of those small pieces about a small piece that he's going to eat, chutz lizmano. He kept doing that until he finished the whole komet. So now the question is, do we say it is mitzdarev? Rav Chisra, Rav Amnuna, Rav Sheshet. Charamar pigol. One of them says it's pigol because you finished the whole komet with machshav pigol. Even though you did it piecemeal, in totality you now have it that it is pigol. Charamar pasul. One of them says it's pasul but not pigol. Charamar kasher. One of them says it's totally kasher. So Agmar says, lema. Mandamar pigol ki Rabbi Meir. Let us say the one who thinks that it's pigol holds like Rabbi Meir that you can be mefagel bechatzi matir. Mandamar pasul is like the Rabbonon who say that when you're mefagel bechatzi matir, it's not pigol, but it is pasul. Umandamar kasher ki Rabbi. And the one who says kasher is like Rabbi who says there that if you have machshava in one of the kibasim for one of the chalot and then another machshava in the other kibas for the other chala, they're not mitztaref. The whole thing is kasher. So it's over here. They won't be mitzareif and it'll be kasher. Mimai. How do you know that the machlokot are parallel? Tilma ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Meir hotam ela dechishe bishiuro. Maybe Rabbi Meir only believes that there's mifago v'chatzi matir when you have a machshava of significance, like a kazayit worth of the item. That's when you have a machshava in chatzi, then you can have pigul in chatzi matir. V'hocha delo chishe bishiuro, lo. But over here, where he didn't have a machshava about an entire shiur, maybe he doesn't believe you can be mefagel b'chatzi matir. Each piece, yes, chatzi matir, but it's too small to be significant within the world of pigul. V'ad kan lo kami rabbanan otam elu delo chishe bebi kulei matir. Maybe there the rabbanan say it's a problem of mefagel b'chatzi matir, and they think it's pasul, not pigul, is because he didn't have a machshava about the entire matir. But about hocha, the chishe bebi kulei matir, over here, even though he did it piecemeal in the end, you ended up having a machshava about the entire matir. Hachanami de pogio. Maybe here would be pigul. Bad kan lo kamar Rabbi Hatam el dulo hadar malya mioto avoda. That's because over there you had your machshava about one keves, about one of the chalot. And then you had another chatzi kazayim machshava about the second keves with the second chalat. Since you didn't have overlapping machshavot in a single avoda, that's why he says it's kasher. Avahachar hadar malya mioto avoda. Over here, where you finish off the shiur, there it's a chatzi gezayin from two different avodot. Over here, you have a chatzi shiur from the same avodah. You keep doing it in the same avodah. Maybe that builds into a full shiur. V'chachanami de pasul. Maybe you would say it was pasul, you're not kasher. Ella, mandamar pigul divrei akol. The one who says it's pigul is according to everyone. Mandamar pasul divrei akol. The one who says it's pasul over here thinks that's according to all these shitot. Mandamar kasher thinks it's divrei akol according to all these shitot. So what is the machloki between them? Umanda amar pigul divrei akol. He says that's according to everyone. Kasavar derech achila b'kach v'derech hakara b'kach. It is normal. It's considered to be an acceptable way to perform the avodah when you do hakara piecemeal and when you eat piecemeal. Both of those are acceptable forms of presentation. And therefore when you did hakara, it was a good hakara when you did it piecemeal, shum shum by shum shum. Similarly, when you eat it, little piece by piece, or you thought about eating it piece by piece, that's also acceptable. Therefore, everybody agrees it is pigul. Mandamar pasul divrei akol. He one who says that it's pasul according to everyone. Kasavar derech achila b'kach ve'ein derech haktara b'kach. There is an alternate girsa, you can see here in the parentheses. We're going to go with this girsa that we have in the Gemara with the parentheses because that's Rashi's girsa, which is everybody believes that you can eat that way. It's normal to eat that way. But it's not normal to be maktir that way. It's the equivalent of mincha that never had a komets put on the mizbeach. Whatever you put on was not considered to be haktara. Since it's not normal to be maktir that way, that's pusel the mincha. The mincha is not a good mincha because you didn't get the maktir on the mizbeach. And that's why it is pasul. Doesn't matter that derech achila b'kach because you never were makriv the maktir ke ra'oi or karatzato. You never got it on the mizbeach and therefore it's pasul. Mandamar kasher, one who says kasher is divrei akol, kasavar derech haktara b'kach, vein derech achila b'kach. It is a normal way to do haktara, it is not a normal way to eat. Therefore, your haktara is a good haktara. But you had a machshevet pigul, but your machshevet pigul was built of you having in mind to eat a sesame seed worth, b'chutz lizmano, and then another sesame seed worth, b'chutz lizmano. That's not a normal way to eat. So that's not a way to eat. Your makshev pigol was ineffective. But your haktara was a good haktara because you do haktara piecemeal. So therefore your haktara is kosher haktara. Your pigol or makshev pigol doesn't exist. Now you have a kosher mincha and you can eat it. And that's why he believes it is kosher. Okay, we'll stop here by the two dots. at the end of Tetzayin Amud Bet.